We're turning in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 119. We've arrived at the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Lamed. And please notice, you can just see that letter just standing up with a hand up in the air. Lord, I need you. Help me. The word Lamed here, the letter. We're going to be looking at four observations. We've entitled this message, The All-Sufficiency of God's Word. And the letter Lamed would almost stand as a tribute in its shape, towards pointing up, so to speak. Look to the Word. Look to the Lord. He is the one that is going to help us. Well, we're going to be looking at four observations. The first thing that I want us to look at is found in verses 89 through 91. And that first observation deals with the permanence of God's Word. Notice what it says. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. You know, as we look at the subject of the permanence of God's Word, that stands in stark contrast to the moral relativism that we see today. Frankly, I get tired of politicians and relativists and moralizers and philosophers that say, well, you know, the Bible is just a book that reflects first century social mores in the New Testament. And the Bible is just a book that reflects the moral times in which they were written. Do you really think that's true? You look at what the Apostle Paul had to put up with. What he found in the hearts and lives of the Corinthians and the Galatians and so many other places in the New Testament, and what the Old Testament prophets had to put up with. The Bible doesn't reflect the way people thought back in those days. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that those days were just as iniquitous as our days are today. If anything, the Bible tells us that times really haven't changed. There's nothing new under the sun as far as man's thinking. But what does the Word of God say? Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. You see, it's not what man says, it's what God says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man's thinking is forever changing. You look at a book that's offered in college today, and you have the first edition, the second edition, the third revising, and it goes on and on and on. I've spoken with writers who say, well, you need to actually get the latest revision because I've changed my views on this area and that area. I even spoke with Dr. Lehman Strauss, and he had written books on the epistles, and he was sharing with me how some of his books he changed his view on certain portions of Scripture. But you know, God doesn't change His opinion. God says, my Word is settled not on earth. It's not based on the earth. You know, the earth is going to be done away. The Bible's definition, by the way, of global warming is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. The elements shall burn with fervent heat. That's what global warming is for what the Bible has to say. But the Bible says in eternity, in heaven, where God dwells, that's where His system of ethics comes from. And it doesn't change. Too many times we think that we have to go running like a little puppy dog, running after the world to see what they're doing, to have the idea of what we need to be teaching and how we need to be approaching it.
But the word of God says, forever thy word is settled in heaven. This is why this pastor here believes in preaching the book. Because you know what? We need to stick, like Lee Iacocca said, to the main thing. The main thing is the main thing. Preach the word of God. You get into philosophies, you get into opinions, you get into the current fads that are even found in many places today that claim to be Christian, and they're here today and gone tomorrow. Stick to the book. When it comes to raising your family, well, look at verse 2. It says this, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. For this reason, dear people, long ago I made the decision, and Melody made the decision, that we can commit our children unto the Lord. Why? Because there's a faithful God who has given us His permanent message. And we can raise our children with that message that is unchanging. And God's faithfulness goes on every generation. Don't lose your place in Psalm 119, but if you'd take the time to look at the first epistle of Peter. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 23. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. Notice what it says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God. And what does it say about the Bible? It abides, it lives, and it abides forever. Your salvation is not based on your feeling. It's not based on the latest fad or thinking or philosophical trend that has come along. But your salvation is based on the eternal, abiding message of the Word of God. And it doesn't change. We're born again through that. Notice the contrast. All flesh, all philosophies, reasonings, people, fads, all flesh, it's like grass. And the glory of man is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord, how long does it endure? It endures forever. People can call it old-fashioned. They can try to stomp on it. They can try to revise it. They can try to do away with it and burn it. But listen, man will perish like the grass, but the Word of God will abide forever. Cherish the Word of God. Assimilate it into your life. Cling to it. It endures forever. And Peter says, this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So therefore, do you want to be relevant? Preach the word. Too many seminaries, too many Bible colleges have gone off on subsidiary issues that may perhaps be good, but they're not even based on the Word of God. In order for them to be good, they must be based on the preaching of God's Word. May the Lord give us people of the book. This is why the Bible says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Yes, as a young parent, I used to wonder. And frankly, I ask myself, and I do it on a weekly basis when I get phone calls, what are my kids going to face as pastors in the coming generation? You know, we got to admit, sooner or later, you know, we're seeing a good men of God go on and pass off the scene, and the baton is being passed to young men. What are they going to be facing? What are your children going to be facing? Your children that are in churches and serving the Lord that want to take a stand for Him, and they'll be deacons and pastors' wives and deacons' wives, and they'll be going on in service for the Lord. What decisions are they going to have to be making in order to stay firm? Listen, we have this knowledge. If you stick to the book, God promises that He will give you the right answers. Stick to the book. Like they say, stick to the script, you know, stick to the book. God will always, always bless and honor His word. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. I had a conversation with a police officer, and you got to admit, police officers, they don't always face the Sunday school children and the Sunday school boys. Police officers very often have to deal with pretty rough element. There was one police officer that was single that I spoke with, and he told me, he said, I don't even want to even think of having kids. For all I know, my kid would turn out like some of these other dirt bags that I got to put in prison. That's the way he talked. And he went on and on and on and on. He was a little bit more flowery in his conversation, and I'm not going to be able to go any further with it, giving illustrations of the types of and things that he faced. But he had a very, very negativistic view. And of course, it gave me a great opportunity to show him how it didn't have to be that way. You know, if you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, and you receive Him as your personal Savior, and then you follow the instructions of the master architect of marriage, and you follow the biblical principles of child rearing, the Bible tells us His faithfulness is unto all generations. Trust in Him. And those of you that have been having trials and testings, and all of us do with our children, all of us without exception, well, just keep on praying, being faithful. You know why? Because you don't know the final chapter yet. They may be having some bumps on the road. You keep on praying. Be faithful. Don't give up. His faithfulness is unto all generations. And then look at the second part of verse 90. It establishes the Lord's faithfulness, and it draws an analogy to nature. It says, He established the earth and it abides. He uses nature as an illustration of God's faithfulness. And let me take you to a passage where that is done. Look at Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. And I want you to take this home with you. And some of you like to get up early in the morning and go for a walk. I like to do that with Samson. Sometimes he lets me know when it's morning. And that can get kind of complicated when you've got the grandkids that you've been working with. Samson's loved it. He's loved having all of the grandkids over. But the problem is that he's one of them. Here's little Timmy running with a cookie, and Samson will walk right up to him, and without even touching his fingertips, he'll grab that cookie just like that and eat it just in a heartbeat. Little Joseph had one of these Lebanese chocolate clusters that's covered with kind of like saran wrap, but it's very light wrapping. And Samson takes that out of Joseph's hand masterfully and eats it. Wrapper, saran wrap, chocolate, and everything. Dogs aren't supposed to eat chocolate. But he's still around, so it didn't hurt him any. It was just one piece. But he's as much of a concern as the rest of them, you know, when it comes to toddlers and the pans and the pots and all of that. So he blends right in. Notice what it says here about the blessing of looking towards nature. And yes, you have those early morning walks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. To who? To all generations. The Lord is merciful unto all generations. His message goes unto all generations. You want to be relevant? Give them the Word of God. Give your children and your grandchildren the Word of God. the Word of God, it's going to make you relevant. They may not think you're relevant, but you will be relevant. And you'll be a lot more relevant than some of these actors and this business of all of the razzmatazz that you see on the Hollywood news today. But it says, your faithfulness is unto all generations. Now notice what it says. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. In other words, the heavens declare God's faithfulness. The rising and setting of the sun, the moon, the presence of the stars, the faithfulness of God and His creation ought to remind us of the faithfulness of God's Word. So if you go back to Psalm 119, and the Bible gives us that analogy that the Lord's faithfulness, notice what it says in verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations, thou hast established the earth, and it abides. And it says, the earth continues this day according to thine ordinances, even nature is a servant of the Lord. Even His creation is a servant that bears witness to God's faithfulness. So let's be thankful and let's look around. And rather than being, oh, well, you know, another hot day, let's be thankful we live in sunny Florida, and let's be thankful for the beauty of the Lord's creation. The beauty of creation testifies to the permanence of God's Word and His promises declared in the Word of God. So verses 89 through 91 talk to us about the permanence of God's Word. Now look at verse 92. Verse 92 talks to us about the protection of God's Word. God's Word protects us. Notice the usage of the word affliction here. It says this, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. See, the Word of God is what keeps us from falling prey to the depression and the discouragement and the suicidal tendencies and all of the things that we see around us in the world today. Verse 92 tells us that if it weren't for God's Word, where would I be? Where would I be? You know, the word affliction is used 6 times in Psalm 119. One of the reasons why so many Christians are perishing in their affliction, and one of the reasons why Christians are not overcoming in their afflictions, is that they are not in the Word of God as they should be. And there are times where we encounter these dry spots. We need to get into the Word of God. Too many people are reading the newspaper instead of the Word of God. The protection of God's Word, it preserves us. Listen, God's Word protects us from the pitfalls of life. Read the book of Proverbs and see how many times God's Word is used as a protection for us. Let me just give you one quick example, and the whole book of Proverbs could be used. But in Proverbs 1 and verse 28, the Lord says this in Proverbs 1 and verse 28. Because of the world rejecting wisdom in the Word of God, it says, there'll come a time when they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. In the midst of their calamity, because they've turned from the Lord, there's a time where it may be too late. For they hated knowledge, didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. But notice verse 33 of Proverbs 1. Whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. But folks, every one of us, if we get away from the Word of God, not only are we going to notice the difference, but our wives, our spouses, our children, our co-workers will also notice it in our lives as well. The protection of God's Word. So often people think, oh, the Word of God is a bondage. It's something that I legalistically feel guilty in if I don't read it. But God's Word is your life support system. It keeps you from the pitfalls and reminds you of the weakness and the enemies of the flesh. And we need to keep before us the fact that we need God's Word and its protection. Now, this passage also, speaking of the all-sufficiency of the Word of God, it protects us. It's permanent. But notice in verses 93 through 95, the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. God's Word is able to quicken us. By the way, the quickening starts with giving us eternal life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get saved without the Word of God. So therefore, starting in the Word, we continue in the Word of God. God's Word quickens us, first of all, from death unto life, but it also gives us day-to-day life as well. How many times have you been discouraged and you go into your study chamber or your quiet place, wherever it may be, in the back porch, by the lake, and you just read the Word of God and you come back and your spirit is energized. You feel encouraged. You feel a strength. Your battery is recharged. God's Word not only gives you eternal life, but it provides safety. Look here at verse 94. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. God's Word will save us, provide safety from danger. In verse 95, it even provides discernment for us before our enemies. It says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. But what's our response? I'm going to consider thy testimonies. I'm going to read up on what the Bible says ought to be my response to my enemies. You know, when you go to the Word of God and you find out how to respond to your enemies, it could very well keep you from getting fired. I've heard of Christians that wanted to get even with their associates and they just fought fire with fire. They got caught, the others didn't, and it was the Christian that got fired. Well, we had no business responding in anger. We had no business responding by pulling pranks and doing things that others were doing. And because we wanted to get a pound of flesh or vengeance, we got out of the Word of God. We failed to respond the way we should have, and we wound up suffering for it. The wicked, they're going to be there to destroy us. But if your mind considers the testimonies and you read about how Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach or Abednego, or how Job responded to his counselors, or how our Lord responded to affliction, the writings of Peter and others that speak about a proper response towards afflictions and our enemies, God's Word will give us power to successfully maneuver through life. Then we're going to finish our study in this section tonight with the Word of God in verse 96. And it testifies to the perfection of God's Word. The perfection of God's Word. Notice what the psalmist said. I have seen an end of all perfection. You know, human knowledge and what human beings call perfection winds up corroding, winds up being old-fashioned. How many of you remember the old shag carpets that you had in your home in the early 70s? Yeah. You remember, though? I'll tell you what. When I first met Melody, she had a carpet that was so thick in her bedroom that, quite frankly, I left footprints in it. And when she went to sweep that out, she had a rake. You remember the old rake, ladies? Don't ask me to explain that, but she had a rake to clean that thing. I mean, I looked, where's the Electrolux? Why doesn't that work? You know, she had to rake the thing, and it was green. I mean, I might as well rake the leaves outside. But things and styles change. Popcorn ceilings. Nobody wants popcorn ceilings. And styles change. You know, all human knowledge has limitations and boundaries. People here in this congregation know a lot more about computers, but Ken could come up here and give us a diatribe of the pathway and the distance that computers have gotten. Oh, this is the best computer that you could possibly have. Or now they're talking about the Apple watches and the latest thing. I remember the old Dick Tracy watches. Remember those? And boy, we really thought that was something. But now you got a smart Apple watch that you can have. And soon that will be obsolete, will it not? You know, there was a fella, Charles Duell. He was the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office in 1899. And his famous statement was uttering this phrase, "Everything that can possibly be invented has already been invented." He came to that conclusion in 1899. Now, is that egg on the face or what? You know what has come up since 1899? Let's go down the list, right? You know. But man is short-sighted, and they say, this is perfect. This is right. Our system of thinking in morality is right. And we finally reached the answer in our level of evolution. And mankind has evolved, and we have to realize that there's scientific evolution, and we also have to realize there's social evolution is where we are today. And why should we hold back the benefits of evolution, they say? Well, notice what it says here. I have seen an end of all of these people that claim perfection. But you know what? The Word of God is exceeding broad. It never changes, forever settled in heaven. No one, by the way, and we've talked about this in Sunday school, none of us can ever plummet the depth of God's Word. Nobody can ever say, this passage of Scripture, I've spoken the last word on it. If you ever hear that from anybody, you better think about whether or not they've really studied it as much as they should. Because in any field that you find yourself in, whatever field, and we have various people that have excelled in your area of study, you know as well as I do that anybody that thinks that they know it all, they haven't even begun to scratch the surface. It's the brainiacs that say, hey, we're just starting on our journey. But God's Word must be our template. God's Word must be our template. And this is a tribute to the permanence and the sufficiency of God's Word. So, don't you think it's a good idea that we raise our families according to this book? Don't you think it's a good idea that we vote in the ballot box in accordance with those who best reflect God's teachings? Absolutely. Don't you think that if someone asks you for an opinion on any issue, that we should ask ourselves, does God's Word touch on this? Let me give the Bible answer. Oh, I know a lot of people, they don't want to hear that conversation. They don't want to hear the word Bible. You know, you're at some restaurant, whether it's Cheesecake Factory or Brio's or wherever, and you hear somebody say, Bible. Everybody goes, oh, who said that? Who said that? Where did that come from?
You know, oh, Bible, excuse me, you take your napkin, you know. And people today are afraid to speak out the word of God. Let me tell you, we need to have the backbone to stand up and give God's word out. Don't you dare be ashamed of doing what you'll be glad you did when you stand before God in eternity. We're soldiers of the cross, and we're to give the message as ambassadors for Christ. But let's make sure that we're in it. Let's study God's word. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for Central Florida Bible Church and each one that makes Central Florida Bible Church what it is. We thank you for the headship of Christ over the church and the message of God's word, even in the title of our church. Lord, we thank you for those that are listening to the Word of God on sermon audio and the ministries of outreach that we would have. And we do pray that as the Word of God goes forth, it would be a continued outreach to touch the hearts and lives and those around us. Bless us, Lord, and as we go our separate ways, help us to be witnesses and to carry your Word with tracts and testimonies. And Lord, there are people that will come with marriage problems and concerns. Lord, help us to take them to the Word of God, not Oprah or Chopra or Dr. Phil or others, Lord, that will give the world's philosophy, but help us to stand upon the Word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.